How's it going, everyone? My name is Omar. Welcome back to That Mill Podcast. Hope you're doing well. Joining me today, I have Mr. Mill Fan TV, Kai Bennett. How are you, pal? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. We've obviously not done a show for a week or so. I mean, I missed the last couple as well through commitments and England games and as such other sorts of things. But yeah, it's good to be back in the hot seat today. Looking forward to talking about the last couple of games since the international break. Obviously, two draws. 1-1 on Saturday away at West Brom, which Kai was at, and a 0-0 yesterday away to Swansea. We're going to go straight to part number one now, where we'll be talking about them two games, and obviously part two will proceed to the Coventry game. If you're new around here, be sure to subscribe, like the video, and obviously if you're listening on audio, be sure to leave us a review either on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. So let's proceed into part one now. And welcome to part number one. As said in the intro there, this is a review of the last two games, Kai. I mean, firstly, let's talk about the West Brom game from Saturday. I already said it was two draws. You was at West Brom Saturday, a 1-1 draw. Obviously, they scored early on in the second half. Had an opportunity to go 1-0 up in the first half, didn't they, on the stroke of half-time. Bart Bielkowski saving a penalty. I think it was Carlon Grant who took the penalty, ex-Charlton striker. Second half, obviously they scored. Bartley scored early doors. And then I think we got our equaliser, didn't we, not long after through Mr. Daniel Ballard. So you was at the game, mate. Tell us how you feel about the day and obviously what it was like an away day. But obviously the performance as well from Millwall.
Yeah, it was a really good performance. You know, I think that penalty that they got on the stroke of half-time, it would have been really harsh on us had we've gone in 1-0 down. But it's hard to tell whether it's a penalty or not, especially when I've only really seen it back on Quest and on the EFL highlight show, and it's sort of hard. They don't really zoom in very well, so you can't really see whether he clips him. First thoughts were that he went down too easy, but you know, you can't really see well enough whether you're right or wrong. So it would have been harsh to go down one, harsh to go in at halftime 1-0 down. Obviously, luckily, Bart Bielkowski to the rescue. Mm-hmm. Said that too many times, don't we? yeah, fantastic save, brilliant save.
It was Grady Diangana, wasn't it? The ex-West Ham player that was fouled, wasn't it? I think it's one of those ones. We'll talk bit by bit, I suppose, about it. But like, obviously, it was. You've seen him given, if that makes sense. Like, if it was the other way around, then it was Jed Wallace who went down like that, we'd be thinking it's a penalty as well. So yeah. I think it's one of those where like 9 times out of 10 it's given, isn't it? But yeah, like you said, Bielkowski made a good save, didn't he? But yeah, I totally agree with you. It's like, is it? Or shouldn't it not be? It's one of those, I suppose, flip of a coin, isn't it?
Yeah, it's difficult because, you know, quite early on into the match as well, Diangana had dived a few times. So it was sort of one of them ones that you're thinking, has he just dived again there? Mm-hmm. Didn't get booking for the other ones. But, you know, when the referee goes down, the rig eats mode and the ref doesn't give anything. So it's one of them ones I just maybe felt maybe he did it again. But Bart to the rescue, it was a fantastic save. It was really good to go in half time at 0-0. We could have potentially even gone in 1-0 up with Jeb Wallace. Missed a good chance when he was basically put through a goal. I think it was Ajayi who misplaced the header. Mm-hmm. And then obviously second half, they've scored, but a good header from Bartley. Really good header. Nothing Bart could do about that. But the response was fantastic. It seems like recently that it's taken us till we're going 1-0 down to actually start, like, you know, starting to play properly. And when we went 1-0 down, we were a different side. We were popping it. West Brom couldn't get near us for about 20 minutes, and obviously Ballard scored, and it was a fantastic goal, fantastic finish. And just by moments before that, Murray Wallace could have equalised himself. It was a good chance, and he's put it past the post. But yeah, second half was, after they scored, was really good, and that was really, you know, felt like we probably could have won it.
Are you glass half full after that performance then? I mean, so I think I agree with you. Like, you know, going to West Brom, if you said to me before the game, would you have took a 1-1 draw? I probably would have done. You know, it's a tough place to go. They had a good start to the season. I think they were, you know, in the top two when we played them, they still are now. I think they have back-to-back draws this week as well, much like us. But it was kind of one of those games where there wasn't a lot on offer, was there? I think we've done well to nullify their threat. A lot of people spoke about West Brom, you know, how they play high intensity, trying not to ball forward. I thought, you know, our midfield was quite good with Keith Bell and Saville, and I thought they kind of done well to kind of nullify the threat of a counter-attack or, you know, that direct play from West Brom. But that second half, like you said there, mate, we've had the chances galore, and it was almost the nearly chances, just that final ball. And I think that's what Rowett said this week in particular after Swansea yesterday as well. It's just that last part is missing. You know, I think you said about Wallace's chance first half. Shea Ojo made his debut. We'll talk about him in a second. But he had a similar chance in the second half, didn't he? Where, you know, it's a poor back pass. He's through on goal. You're thinking, just stick it away. Mm-hmm. And it's just that one last part that was missing, I think, from making it, let's be honest, probably two wins this week if we had, you know, that little bit of end quality, I feel.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think it's easy to say, you know, with the players that are injured and stuff, and, you know, we could be better if them players are in. And I think But I do honestly think if Afobe plays that game against West Brom, potentially he's the player that gets them two chances, obviously, instead of Wallace and Ojo. And even though 9 times out of 10, I back Wallace to finish them normally, but it was quite a tight angle. So Johnson's come out. And then the second one, Ojo, is quite tight again. And he's just tried to place it around him. But I just feel if Afobe was in them position, I feel like Afobe probably would have scored. So, you know, I feel like maybe we're lacking that player, but you can't sort of, I don't like making excuses for injured players. Even though obviously we had them players, I think they make a massive difference. Hutchinson, Danny at the back, especially. But yeah, we could be talking about 2 wins here, but you know, a point at West Brom's never a bad result. And then a point at Swansea, you know, probably, you know, is never a bad result either, especially after the long trip to West Brom on Saturday. Yeah. So two good points. But importantly, back them up on Saturday with a win against Coventry.
So let's talk about Shay Ojo. He unfortunately didn't play yesterday, but we'll still talk about Saturday's game. What did you make of him? I mean, there was a couple of opportunities I felt in the second half where, you know, we mentioned that chance he had the one-on-one, you know, good save by Johnson. I agree with you, but, you know, still would have hoped he put it away. If it was Matt Phillips for West Brom, I'm pretty sure he would have stuck it away if it was a similar sort of opportunity. But there you go. This is the championship. You've got to take your chances when it comes to you. But there was a couple of times where I thought, you know, going forwards, him and Jed Wallace in particular, there was a link up there on the counter where it was quite explosive. And there was one moment I remember in the second half where Ojo, I think Wallace picks out Ojo on the left. Ojo's going forward through. Wallace then bombing on behind Matt Smith. Matt Smith then gets the ball. And you're thinking, just look over your shoulder, Smith. And Wallace is right there to kind of, you know, complete the counter-attack and hopefully score. That's why I agree with you about Afobe. You know, Smith got 90 minutes on Saturday, ran himself to the ground after the game was on the floor, weren't he? And I think, you know, he gave his all, but it's just if that Afobe was there, you know, it could have completed a great kind of counter-attacking performance. But I thought Ojo in parts, you know, considering he's not played much in pre-season, not obviously appeared for Liverpool, I thought he'd done all right. You know, he's a promising kind of player there.
Yeah, definitely. I think he's got real pace, really good technique as well. He held the ball out well when he got it. He looked to sort of, you know, play with Malone on the left. I think them two would be really good together if we could, you know, get a sort of a bond there. You know, and Jed and Ojo worked really well together. I remember once, just, you know, similar to your one, where Jed had the ball and he was running straight at the West Brom defence and Ojo was on the left. And funny enough, Matt Smith was actually keeping up with him, which was quite impressive, actually.
Yeah.
But then Malone's come bombing down the left as well. And I think Jed's gone Smith through. And I think, Jed's gone to Malone and Malone's crossed it in and Smith's tried like an overhead, like a bicycle kick sort of thing. And then, yeah, it's got blocked. But, you know, there's so many chances where the counter-attack is so effective and, you know, Ojo being, you know, really, really quick and with Afobe coming back as well and Jed obviously, you know, quick as well. So, yeah, it's exciting, especially for away games when we try and counter more. But, yeah, and home games as well, just as much because, you know, I feel like them three have the quality to unlock a door, maybe with a pass or a bit of skill. So yeah, it's really exciting with them three. I think any team with that front three would be a good front three. So yeah, please.
Even if Mason Bennett comes into that kind of conundrum as well, he fits that sort of mould, doesn't he? You know, the kind of counter-attacking, quick, you know, carries the ball, travels with it as well. I think it's kind of an early inclination, I feel like, of what Routt wants to see from his front three. I quite like, you know, the last two games, there's a mix of views from the fan base, as it tends to be the case. But as we both said there, Kai, you know, 2 points, we both would have took the 2 points, you know, if you offered to us at the start of the week. I felt like we should have won at least yesterday. I think that was a game where we could have grabbed it. You know, Swansea didn't win at home, you know, and I feel like it was an occasion where we could have, you know, kind of gone there and kind of stamped our authority on the game. Let's talk about that. I mean, obviously, there's one change, I think, or maybe two. No, I think it was just the one, actually, two from the weekends. Smith and Ojo out. Ojo's got an illness. Nothing more said about that. So I don't know. Have you seen about anything else said about that? It was just an illness, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so, mate. I think it's just an illness. I mean, you don't know
whether... Not COVID, we don't know.
That's the thing, isn't it? Yeah. But I think it was COVID. I think there'll probably be a few more out, you'd expect, due to isolations and stuff. I don't know. Yeah. I know the rules have changed. So I'm not quite sure what would happen with that. But yeah, probably, hopefully, just a, I don't know, just, you know, just an illness. And obviously, Smith making way makes sense as well, because he ran himself into the ground on Saturday.
So an opportunity was offered to Tom Bradshaw and Mason Bennett getting his first start since his injury. First appearance of the season, obviously, from the start. I think he actually didn't even come on Saturday, did he? So it was his first appearance of the season. Similar team, obviously, the rest remained with Bielkowski, Cooper, Murray Wallace, Ballard, Malone, Billy Mitchell, right wing back, who I've been impressed with the last two games. I felt like he's kind of, you know, showed his kind of versatility in the side, and obviously welcome to see him play in the team and get his opportunity. Savon Kieftenbeld, I mentioned earlier, I thought quite impressive again yesterday. A bit of a problem when you play two in midfield, where I think both of them don't have that turn of pace, I feel like, but hopefully that won't be an issue on Saturday. You know, we'll have to wait and see with the likes of O'Hare and stuff like that of Coventry. And then obviously Bennett, Wallace and Bradshaw up front. I think we're just going to jump straight to that opportunity in the second half for Bradshaw. I think that's just, I want to highlight it because if Afobe was fit, I would have hoped he would have scored it. And it backs up my point from Saturday where, you know, Ojo had that chance, Wallace had that chance, Smith could have looked over his shoulder and seen Wallace for the through ball. That quality in the final area, it's just, you know, it's easy to blame injuries, but nonetheless, Bradshaw has an opportunity to impress and just missed that opportunity. He ran himself into the ground on the last night, and I don't fault that at all, but I just wonder what you thought of that chance and obviously Bradshaw's performance coming to the side, Kai.
Yeah, I thought he ran himself into the ground. As you said, I thought he worked tirelessly to close down that Swansea defence who kept trying to play out from the back. Yeah, but that chance is the difference sometimes in the game, isn't it? And obviously, I know Obafemi missed a really good chance for them. But, you know, it's the difference. Obafemi misses there. If Bradshaw slots that one away, we'll probably walk away with a 1-0 victory because it didn't really look like tested. They didn't really test us too much. They didn't really do much with the possession they had, did they? Apart from a late free kick on my bar and that Obafemi chance. Other than that, they didn't really test us that much. No. I do, you know, it's hard because I think I like Bradshaw because I like the way he runs himself into the ground and he really runs and he chases everything. But that chance is a really good one. And I just feel like, you know, make potentially easy a bit close and the keeper's sort of a bit too big there. And, you know, how I guess maybe does he let it come across his body a bit more and open his foot up and let it roll off his foot into the right, or does he just hit it? You know, it's a hard one. It's, you know, he'll know himself that he probably should have scored. But yeah, I thought he worked hard, but it's just a shame he couldn't have been that. He could have been a hero last night.
Yeah, very true, mate. I mean, I don't want to frown upon that because we didn't have many opportunities otherwise in the game. That kind of is an issue, I suppose, for us, isn't it, Kai? You know, we went to Swansea, albeit, you know, two tough away games, you know, back to back, travelling midweek. You can name all the excuses in the world. Injuries, you know, galore at the moment. Obviously, Ballard went off injured as well yesterday with an eye injury of sorts, or just below his eye, wasn't it? A cut to the eye there. How long can you make excuses instead, how can you be critical instead of the team? It's a fine line, isn't it? Because I feel like the fan base as well, it kind of highlights how I feel now. There's people on one side that blames the manager, negative tactics, looks to stay in the game. I feel like we should address this because, you know, and then also the same side, people going, what do you expect from a team that's got injuries? You know, a team like Millwall that, you know, can't really push up to the championship top half or as such, you know, try and be in the playoffs. I think I sit somewhere in the middle because, yes, you can blame injuries. You can blame, you know, players being out of form or COVID affecting players, you know, and isolating and who knows what effects that has. But at the same time, you know, the tactics were yesterday that we only had one clear-cut opportunity yesterday against a team that's not won at home. They drew 0-0, I think, against Hull on Saturday at home. Where do you sit on that, Kai, and what's your kind of take on obviously the last two games? And are you glass half full after it or glass half empty? What's your obviously your overriding feeling after the two games?
I guess I'm glass half full still, just because I thought the draw against West Brom on Saturday was really good. I thought we played really well, and even though we didn't win it, I felt that to go there and to push a team like West Brom all the way and nearly, you know, there won't be too many teams that walk away from the Hawthorns at the end of the season and say, you know, we should have come away with a victory, or, you know, come away with a victory, or just even get a point. So, you know, West Brom wouldn't beat our teams at the Hawthorns. And I think that, you know, to go there I think we did stamp our authority in that game, especially in the second half. I thought we were brilliant. And, you know, I think West Brom will walk away thinking, yeah, that was a good side. They were a good side, Millwall. You know, to maybe not back it up against Swansea and win was a little bit disappointing, and maybe it just knocked the week a little bit. But I still think positives from yesterday were clean sheet, first clean sheet of the season, which is something we haven't done yet, which is actually surprising considering how good our defence is. But then again, you look at Hutchinson being out, maybe that's slightly different with Hutchin. So yeah, it's difficult. It's a fine line between blaming injuries and, you know, realising that the team need to improve. I think it's a hard one. I don't think we'll see the full potential of this side until we have maybe 3-4 more players back. You know, like your Afobe, your, you know, Ojo comes back into it, Hutchinson, Danny Mack, you know, if Ballard can, if Ballard's still, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with Ballard, but just a cut to the eye, you'd hope that it's nothing too serious, but, you know, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Do you think we've got too small of a squad? I can't remember where I saw it on Twitter today, but I remember seeing people debate that maybe we have too much of a smaller squad and the options therefore are limited. I think this is probably the best squad we've had for 3 or 4 years with options that we've got. You know, if, you know, we said the injury list, Ojo, obviously a Phobie, and then, you know, there's two options there that could play up front. Again, with Danny McNamara being out, we sold Romeo, or obviously loan Romeo out. Should we have not done that instead, maybe, and have more competition on that kind of side of things? But do you think the squad numbers are suffice enough to be competing at the top of the Championship? I think I remember seeing somewhere someone said, like, you know, like squads like Fulham, for example, you know, they've got unbelievable amount of talent, but also a lot of players in there that can go in and do a job. And then for us, we've got Bradshaw, and then we're one injury away from Bodvarsson up front, you know, and we all think what we all think of Bodvarsson is quite a unanimous decision amongst Millwall fans in general. And even the manager thought it as well, because, you know, the fact that he's on the bench, doesn't that highlight, you know, a weakness in our squad there almost?
Yeah, I think it does. Maybe our squad is a little bit too small. I think with the Championship, it's such a demanded league and you have so many games back to back that you might need a few more here and there. You know, and did we probably do enough business? Probably not, but we couldn't get out the players that we probably wanted to get out, like Bodvarsson. And you know, if we get Bodvarsson out, then we were able to bring in a couple more probably. So it's really hard. But I think that, you know, with a couple more in, with the injuries we've got, it would have really helped us. But then again, you could maybe stake a claim that, you know, instead of sending Tyler Bury out on loan, maybe he'd have been really handy to have at this sort of time. I know obviously he's injured now, but you know, I think the way he started the season at Hartlepool shows the talent he is, and maybe hopefully next year will come back just hopefully an even better player than he is now. And but I think maybe there is one or two short, but I think that might be due to the fact that we couldn't get rid of players. Maybe I think Raul probably wanted to do a little bit more because he did talk about another striker, didn't he?
Yeah.
After we signed, I think it was a Phobie. But obviously never got that one done because I don't think he could shift enough players out. But yeah, I absolutely agree with what you said. I think we've got the best squad we've had in a lot of years. With the options we've got and with a fully fit squad, I no doubt that this squad can do great things. But it's, obviously at the moment it's hard with the players we've got out.
I just feel like it's deja vu because we had the exact same scenario last year with injuries. And I'm not for one second saying that Wright's hiding behind these injuries and saying this is the sole reason why things ain't going well. You know, I think he was quite critical to players yesterday. They're saying the end product, the final ball, the same with West Brom on Saturday. That's what's missing at the moment. But then, you know, he's saying, you know, every time someone comes back, we lose two more. Every time we get two more back, there's three more that get injured. It's like, well, we had the same scenario last year, you know, like, and I think the season before last, even, we had a similar sort of thing. And it's like, okay, if we've got these injuries, I know we work onto a tighter shoestring budget, but you've kind of got to eliminate that kind of from happening. You know, you've got Mitchell out on loan. Could Mitchell potentially be an option for centre-back to stop Pearce potentially playing? You know, because that could be an issue if Pearce plays, not to criticise the player again. The same thing up front, you know, could we have Tanto on the bench? Could we have Bury available? I'm not saying that, you know, it's a hard kind of balance because you want these players to go out online and play games and play football and go out and get great experiences in the League 2. I think, you know, Mitchell's played every game for Leyton Orient since he's gone out online, which is superb. And, you know, you just know he's going to go from strength to strength because of this loan spell. But it's just, I think, if he's going to hide behind the injuries, then I think he has more control over the transfers than a lot of managers do in the Football League and Championship in particular. He could do something to stop it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, yeah, absolutely agree. I think, how many we got out? Is it seven? Seven or eight now, isn't it? Obviously, I think that includes Isaac Olaf as well. Obviously, he's going to Sutton once he's fit. You know, so it's tough. I think, you know, maybe Isaac's ready. I don't know. It's really hard because obviously National League is a big jump between the National League and the Championship. But we've seen before that players like Gregory can make a step up to League One from there. Morrison the same. So it's difficult, you know, but you have to, I think it's important for players to get, you know, their development and players like Isaac and Tyler and Alex Mitchell and Sean O'Brien. It's important that they go out and get experience and get really good experience because when they do that, they'll come back a better player because of all the time they've got on the pitch. Mm-hmm. So it's important they get the time and they get the, you know, that game time. But yeah, I think we are a couple short and you know. But the thing is the difficult thing is that if we've got a full squad, we're probably sat here and we're not saying that. So it's just because of our, you know, injuries that we're saying that. And, you know, if we sat here with only one or two out, then we're probably not going to say that. So it's, you know, it's only because of the fact that we've got these players out, which is the reason we're probably bringing it up.
Well, yeah, but obviously my point is, again, to the last season, we was in a similar situation. Yeah. It's like, and I get it, like, it's obviously a common theme. If players are injured, they're injured. But, you know, it's unfortunate because obviously Hutchinson would play, Danny Mack would play, you know, Afobe would play, and probably Ojo would play. So then you've got four starting players out the side. And then Ballard, it's unclear what's happening with him, isn't it, at the moment? But hopefully, I'm sure if it's swelling just beneath the eye, hopefully it's a case of that, you know, he might have to wear something protective on his face and hopefully he plays Saturday. But it's just, yeah, it's one of those, isn't it? It's a tough one. It's a tough position to be in. I think I mentioned Ballard there, but we didn't talk about his goal on Saturday. I think we should do that before we end up part one. What a header, mate. Unbelievable goal. You was there, obviously. What was it like the away end when that guy went in, mate?
Oh, it's fantastic, you know, especially after, you know, they went ahead and, you know, obviously that happens at away grounds, you know, after Bart saves that brilliant, brilliant stop, you know, it was a fantastic save and it was, you know, great scenes in the away end. And obviously they score, they're on top, you know, and you think, you sort of worry and thinking, you know, a team like West Brom could maybe go out, could go and you know, finish the game off. But our response was fantastic and we deserved that goal. When that goal went in, it was just sort of brilliant to see that we've actually made our dominance count, because we dominated that second half and we made that sort of 10-minute spell where we scored, you know, we made it count. So it was really lovely to score, lovely to see, and fantastic goal, and yeah, brilliant scenes in the away, and it was fantastic. I think you might have gone on.
Yeah, what a header. Yeah. I thought I'd mute myself on my mic there, but there you go. I've done a Mickey Simpson there. Mate, what a header. Unbelievable, yeah. Isn't it? I think obviously Wallace scoops it back in after a corner from the back post. And then he's there to like head it over players, but also into the back of the net in the far corner. I mean, if he'd done that 100 times, he probably would only be able to do that about 5 times the same position. It's just unbelievable timing and the great celebration as well when he hops over the hoarding boards as well to get involved with fans. I thought it's worth the booking, isn't it, in that sense?
It's a fantastic goal and brilliant celebration. Yeah, it was a really, really good finish. And funny enough, it was a bit of deja vu there because 2 years ago when we drew 1-1 to West Brom at the Hawthorns, the corners come in. And I think we had a penalty shout, I think it was. It's gone all the way out. It's carried on. Jed's put another ball back in and eventually falls to Smith. So it's a little bit deja vu there, the way that the ball's gone all the way over. Jed's put it back in. So, yeah, it was a great goal. And he was well-deserved. He's been immense in signing from Arsenal, I think. He's been really, really good. And, you know, it's one of them ones, you know, can we... Obviously, it's going to be tough to turn it into a permanent deal, but it'll be a fantastic bit of business if we could.
It's that catch-22 scenario of loan players. The better they play every game, the more their value goes up, the more you think, okay, we're not going to sign them anymore. So we'll have to wait and see. I think that probably brings a natural end to part one here. We've got our third of the tripod coming in for part number two. He's just joined our green room. So we'll be back in a second with part number two and the preview of Coventry. And welcome to part number two of the show. As mentioned, we've got a third member in this call and he's currently looking down at his phone and hopefully he's going to say hello. Hello, Mickey.
You're up, Al? Hello. Yeah, not too bad, mate. Not too bad at all.
So, yeah. Thanks for joining us. It's all good. Better late than never, but it's all right.
Listen, you know the reason why. I had to go pick up a half pipe for my daughter and I had to go dismantle a 20-foot by 8-foot half pipe. Then load it in a van, then drive back from Surrey to my house, then unload it, and then load it in the back garden. So, I do apologise for being late, listeners. But
if you're in need of a BMX or skateboarding area in the Kent vicinity, hit up Mickey Simpson, and I'm sure he'll be in touch to let you know the rates of to rent it off him.
I've got to build the fucking next, so yeah.
I feel this could be a little part-time hobby of yours, mate. I could see it coming already. People inquiring about the rates to build it and everything, mate. So I'm sure you'll update us on the next show. Yeah,
I might do a video of how to build one.
Anyway, mate, part one, we just spoke about the last two results. I guess we'll ask you just initially, obviously, your thoughts after the last two games before we fly into Coventry on Saturday. I mean, two draws. Me and Kai were kind of not sure if we're glass half full or glass half empty, but what was your take, obviously, after West Brom and Swansea, mate?
I think West Brom, we did well. West Brom looked, you know, we were really good. I think we were starting to really gel, and it looked, you know, we were unlucky. I mean, we had a few chances, but I think we're going in the right direction. And yesterday, yeah, I mean, look, yesterday the first half was boring. The second half weren't too bad. But we just weren't clinical in front of goal. You know, we could have really tied it up yesterday. And with West Brom, we could have finished those games off if we had just that clinical expertise in front of the goal, and we just haven't got it. And whether or not, you know, it's going to gel and stuff, but yeah, no, look, I'm not a row it out yet. I weren't last year, but I think, you know, his football needs to go. But I mean, if you watch the interviews he's done, he's still saying, you know, I haven't really been able to pick the team I want to pick because of injuries and everything else. So
I'm smirking because you haven't listened to part one, but that's exactly the tone of conversation me and Kai had the whole way through. Where do we sit on what sides? Do we think Rarit's to blame? Do we think the injuries are a valid excuse? Do we think, and also the clinical edge in the final third? We also discussed that, mate. So I think you sum up how exactly me and Kai feel. I'm not sure. I feel like you're glass half full by the time you voice that.
Yeah,
I think that
no,
you
definitely
think there's more to come.
Yeah, because I think some of the players, especially with Saville, I think COVID's hit him harder than what we know. And I think, you know, that some of these guys, what have had COVID, they're potentially still in issues. You know, they're still not fully fit. And I think, you know, whether or not they've got long COVID or, you know, bits and pieces, I don't know. But I mean, I was speaking to a couple of people this week who are sport related as such. And they were saying, you know, that, you know, having 2 weeks off with COVID could potentially put you back 3-4 months. Because by the time you get back to being able to get fitness and then gain your match fitness and everything else, and it does knock you for six. So, you know, because you can't necessarily take a lot of the medication off the shelf because it will put you on, you know, banned substances and stuff like that. So they've got to pretty much suffer it. So
I do think Saville's been back to his better best the last couple of games, though. I think the end product of final third is not there, but I think defensively he's been, you know, running around and putting effort in. I think
him and
Keeper have done well.
Yeah, I think, you know, next couple of games, I think he'll be there, but he obviously isn't fit enough, or else he would have played in Northern Ireland.
True. Who knows?
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Northern Ireland doesn't have a choice of players, and they would have definitely had Saville in their team if he was fit enough. So it points that I just don't think he's fit enough. Injuries, fuck knows what they do in training. Do you know what I mean? It seems to me as if they fucking do wrestling at training and they just get injured all the time. But, you know, nice to see Leonard coming back and others. So, yeah, we'll see where we go from there.
Definitely a glass half full tone.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
From Mickey there. Okay, so, mate, let's ask you about Saturday's game, Coventry. They are currently fourth place in the table, although, you know, the table doesn't always read the true story after seven games, but it's still a good indication of a good start to the season from them. 5 wins, 2 defeats. They've won their last two home games back-to-back there. I think it was Cardiff last night, a 1-0 win, and a 2-0 victory against Middlesbrough on Saturday, who are both teams that a lot of people fancy to be up on the top around the table. It's going to be a tough game, isn't it, Mickey, on Saturday against Coventry? A side that normally do well against us as well.
Yeah. As long as we don't get spanked again, I think we'll be all right.
Yeah.
which they've got a habit of. No, I think we might do all right with him. I think, you know, defensively, we're not so bad at the minute. You know, we've had a few scares. But, you know, we're not doing too bad. We haven't really... I think we scored every game, didn't we? I think we deserve a bit of luck. Hopefully there'll be a good crowd there on Saturday. And I reckon we'll win it. I'm going to go with probably 2-1, I think. And I think, yeah, we'll beat Coventry, gain some bragging rights and move on and just start slowly going forward. As soon as we start getting the players back in, we'll go. I don't really want to go too negative yet, because the season's early, and if we show our hand now and just moan like fuck, then we'll have nothing for the later part of the season to do. So I'll keep glass half full or half empty, whichever way you want to do it. And I think we'll be all right Saturday. I'll go for 2-1.
Okay, I like it, mate.
Jed and Jake to score.
Fair enough. I mean, obviously, Kai, we said briefly about Coventry start to season. Obviously, they won yesterday against Cardiff. Thanks to Dabo, also got sent off, which he said to me, obviously, before we start recording as well. They're going to be tough, ain't they, Saturday. It is tomorrow when the show goes out anyway. They're going to be tough side for us to come up against. And obviously, like I said, you know, our form against them in recent times isn't so good either, is it? So it'll be a tough game.
Yeah, it will be a tough game. And the formation they tend to play, I'm just looking here, is it tends to be a 3-5-2. So, sort of, you know, I know we play sort of a 5-2-3 or a 5-3-2. So it tends to, them sort of formation, it tends to cancel each other out, which then it comes to who's got the better players on the pitch, you know, who can unlock a door. And I think it depends. If Ojo's playing and, you know, Jed's obviously playing and, you know, I think Saturday will come too soon for a phobie. But maybe you might see him on the bench, you never know. You know, someone like a Smith or a, you know, probably Bradshaw, won't it be? But yeah, we need to create some chances. Get the, you know, play some, you know, attacking football, give the fans something to cheer about. I think we do that. I think we'll win the game. And I'm going to go Millwall 1, Coventry 0, Jeb Wallace to get the goal.
Ooh, I like it, mate. Excuse me whilst I put my dog down on the floor because she is acting like a little bit of a diva. But yeah, I think two win predictions, lads. What's going on? What's this? What's the foundation of this on? Just pure optimism or confidence? Or just come
pissed
on?
Off, pissed off with losing. And I think that the team are showing some form of, you know, of getting there. I think we're due a win.
Yeah.
I like it.
Mine's more hope, but, you know. I'm always positive about Millwall, always positive.
Yeah, so. But supporting Millwall, it's always hope. There is no other thing what gets you through, mate. You know, that's true. Never take anything for granted. It's always fucking hope. My missus is sitting in the background pissing herself laughing when I sit there and said, you know, supporting Millwall is all about hope, mate. It's never guaranteed. You know what I mean?
No, you never. I mean, that's it. I'm optimistic we'll put on a good performance. I think injuries have limited us, and I don't want to hide. I said in the first part, Mickey, I'm not hiding behind the injuries, but at the same time, if Bright thinks it's a problem, why don't you fix it in the summer and keep some players here or buy a couple more players or look to get some more signings in? I say buy, you know, free transfers could have been an option maybe as backup options if necessary. But I think, I do think it will limit us against a side like Coventry where, you know, I think we'd be looking to take advantage of them on the counter attack again. I look at our options, Bradshaw, if Phobie's not fit, is it going to be Smith? We're relying on Wallace basically to turn up and put the goods in, lads. That's my opinion about a lot of this stuff. Yeah. And it's always been the tone, you know, if Wallace didn't put that ball in on Saturday for Ballard's, you know, would we have scored? Wallace is on 3 goals a season already as well. We've only scored, how many goals all season have we scored? 7 goals. And, you know, Wallace's involvement is key to be seen.
I mean, Kai, you do South London. You've probably got a bit more insight than what we have. Is Ballard injured now or is he okay after last
night? It seems unclear, to be fair. Just Rowett reckons it was just a cut to the eye. Went to hospital last night. There was a couple of articles about it this morning. So I'm not sure. I was speaking to Omar about it before. I wonder whether, you know, I don't know what a cut eye means in terms of injury, you know, diagnosis or length. So I'm assuming it'll just hopefully be a stitch up and then hopefully...
He said post-match he's not concussed. He said he's not concussed and also it's below the eye. So my hope is he's fit for Saturday and maybe has to wear protective. I said that in the first part as well. Maybe has to wear protective kind of, I don't know, a head mask or something silly. But hopefully he plays.
Obviously, I don't think the fella did it as such on purpose, allegedly. I don't think he did. But it did look as if it was, you know, the art of dark arts.
It was weird though, wasn't it? Because he literally was, the player was falling to the floor and then had his arm up there. Man. Yeah, it was a bizarre one. But yeah,
ref like gave a foul, did he? I don't think the ref gave a foul, did he? Because I think they were a counter, weren't they?
I think if anything, he gave a foul to them. I think. Yeah. I could be mistaken. Yeah, I think because Ballard brings him down, doesn't he? Or he goes for the tackle, brings him down, and the arm goes out. So.
I don't think he really brought. He just leant into him, didn't he? And then he just sort of like. The other fella lost his balance and went down, but he definitely fucking threw his arm back.
It's 6 of 1, half does the other, I feel like. It's unfortunate for Ballard. You know, obviously, he's had a good start to the season on the high. Obviously, international break, scored a goal, and then obviously he scored a goal for us on Saturday, which is obviously, you know, it's tough to swallow in that sense, and it's just more of our season so far, really, injuries. So,
injuries every season, the last
correct.
Season.
Correct, that's my point.
So, that's, you know, point. The question has to be, is the training ground too hard or doesn't have the right facilities and is causing injuries, or are we just playing too hard. And the only thing I'm worried about with Coventry is that we seem to be really sloppy on set pieces. We seem to just be letting goals go in from set pieces. You know, general play, we're not too bad. And last night, fuck me, Bart was on fire.
Yeah, he was. He's been good the last two games, hasn't he? I think we didn't really mention him, but he has been in good form. And I think people were a bit critical of him after the first few games, thinking, is he a bit, you know, can he still perform to the high level standards he sets himself? But he's definitely kicked on the last couple of games. I'll give my prediction as well before Mickey has a little rant about a obviously yesterday's events off the pitch. There was no events, just social media,
West Brom and stuff. Yeah.
Social media riffraff. That's what I'll say instead. I think we're going to draw. I hate to say it. I'm not. I think we're going to get our fifth draw of the season on Saturday. I think it's going to be 1-1. I think we're going to take the lead and then the last 10 minutes they're going to score a goal. I'm sorry. That sounds glass half empty, but, you know, I suppose we'll be 3 unbeaten after that. So, well, 3 draws in a row, 4 unbeaten in the league. So, positives, right? but, yeah, go on, Mickey. Take it away with social media and obviously what you think in general about a certain topic.
No, look, you know, I think filming at football is highly questionable on the best of terms. You know, okay, to a degree, if you want to record the goals, that's up to you. I mean, we sometimes record crowd reaction, or if we're video, maybe we might use it for the channel. But as a rule, you don't really do, because you're too busy celebrating to fucking worry about it. It's just getting to a stage where everybody wants to be, you know, oh, I want likes, I want retweets, I want this, that, and the other. And the trouble is that most of you fucking idiots, and I'm sorry, I'm going to call you fucking idiots, who video stuff when it kicks off or other stuff at football, especially like a bit of trouble or a bit of fucking handbags, you videoing stuff are providing the police with such good evidence that you're going to get people locked up. And in my eyes, you're nothing but a grass, because you're videoing people. You're posting that image on social media. You're letting whoever they want copy your videos and post it. People like Away Day and all these other channels will just pump stuff out for content and keep pumping it out, pumping it out, pumping it out. As soon as you put it online, the old Bill's got algorithms what pick it all up. They've already saved it, and there's the evidence. And the trouble is that, you know, fans you sit next to who potentially do something at football for whatever reason, you're suddenly giving the police the evidence to lock them up. And the trouble is that some of the footage might not be good enough to go into a criminal court, but they use it in the civil court to get people football banning orders. And you know, I mean, we've got another show coming up shortly over the next 2 weeks or so with a football lawyer and someone from the FSS Fair Cop, where we'll be talking about it in a lot more detail. But you just got to stop videoing. If you want to video it, but don't post it around. Don't put it on WhatsApp groups and, you know, Twitter and Facebook and everything else, because what's the point? You know, if you're that desperate for likes and retweets, then post a video of the team on the pitch. Post a video of limbs in the crowd if you really want it. But videoing kickoffs outside just for doing it, you're getting people locked up. And that's fact. There's people on bail now because of you.
Limbs in the crowd. I like it, mate. That's terminology I never thought you'd say. Limbs in the crowd. I agree with you, to be fair. Like, but also it's a catch-22 because it's the environment and the world we're brought up in. As in, I was the same a few years ago, probably when I was like 13, 14, I'd want to record the goals and stuff like that. When I got older, I realised that I was missing the moment. And I've not done that for many years now, where, like, you know, I went to the Euros, I could have had my phone out and filmed the penalty shootout. Why would I do that? I want to remember it myself, being embraced into it and stuff like that. And I do get people that do it, and I'm with you. But for me, like, I kind of told myself a few years ago, like, stop doing that. There's no point. I don't really get much for satisfaction out of watching it back. It's, you're kind of thinking, why are you doing that? That kind of thing. And you miss these moments where you think you could be grabbing the nearest person near you and having an absolute kind of, you know, a carnage moment, really, where you celebrate a goal. And as for filming trouble, it's the same thing that happens in public where you see someone get picked on in the street and someone's filming it in the street standing there. people do it. I don't know why, but they think it's like some sort of evidence or something. It's stupid, really. Whereas, you know, it's not, you know, some people want to go in there and sort it out instead themselves. Do you know what I mean? Well, it's
you know,
Social media is the real culprit. It's the social media.
I think at West Brom, I think there was an awful lot of people who were videoing stuff. And unfortunately, I think they needed to go to Deptford Market and the like, mate, to get new screens for their phone come the Sunday. Because I think unfortunately they dropped a few of their phones. I think there was a big crowd moving and surging, and unfortunately not phones out of people's hands. But you know, I just think there's no point filming the trouble, because all you're doing is gonna, you know, you're giving the police, you're doing the police's work for them, mate. You're giving them the evidence, and as soon as you post it online, you've given them the evidence, mate. And that's it. And the trouble is now with phones as they are, you're recording in 4K, you know, you're recording in decent quality footage, which is much better than most of their body cam photos, their videos. And you know, you're just doing their work for them. Just stop fucking being a like hag. Do you know what I mean? You're just turning into just being, you know, you want retweets and likes. You're just a bit of a slag, mate. Just fucking leave it alone.
It's social media, mate. It's social media.
It's the same as pop concerts and all that. People go to, you know, people pay silly money to go watch a superstar, and then they spend the whole time watching the concert through their mobile phone.
Yeah, it's true. It is very true, mate. But like I said, I think it's only going to get worse as, like, you know, technology comes forward, and that's the way it is. And I suppose that's one thing I like about Millwall, because in general at Millwall, you don't normally get people sitting there on their phones filming stuff like that. You know, if you guys don't weigh in normally, it's far from that, really. But
The demographics of Millwall fans are changing. Our fan base is getting, you know, we're attracting more and more youngsters. We have an image. So you get some people what would go just to try and see if there is any trouble to you know, make a video and this, that, and the other. It's just like, it is what it is, mate.
Did you not see the outrage when they used the term drip yesterday on their Twitter?
Again, why? Do you know what I mean? You know, it's Millwall is Millwall. Why are we using fucking gangster slang? I mean, when we done the new kit video, we had people in the video doing, you know, fucking street signs and all this, you know, fucking, what's the fucking point with Millwall? Why? If you're really attracting youth, if you're attracting the more younger hipster and all this sort of image you're going for, then great. But stop using thing, because you're alienating half your fucking fan base already. Half of them don't. I reckon there's probably 60-70%, maybe more, of our fan base fucking didn't have a clue what drip meant. They probably think it's something else. Do you know what I mean? They probably think it means dipstick or fucking plonker, not fucking really cool. Do you know what I mean? Look at the fucking thread on this. Do you know what I mean? Just... maybe we need to do a show, mate. You know what I mean? A brief part of the show where we just educate people on loads of gangster hip slang for when Millwall does it, rather than having to Google it, you'll already know it, because we'll keep you up to date with all the latest slang.
We'd have to do, I think what we could do, mate, we'd do the 2021 UK slang compared to the 1980s UK slang, and then we'll just do a comparison and see what different terms mean nowadays as well, don't we? Kai, do you have a good drips, do you? Or what's the right word? I don't know what the right word is.
I've heard
the term before, definitely before, but it's not something I use. I think, I don't even know if I used it in the right context there, saying you've got good drips, but it's just, yeah, I don't know. Would you be tweeting that if you was running the Mill Twitter handle?
To be fair, until the other day, I didn't have a clue what it meant either. I had to search it up as well, and I'm 17.
And Kai's the youngest out of all of us here, and he doesn't even know what it is either. So there you go. I'll take it.
Here we go. From the dictionary. If you have the drip, it means you have swagger, especially in how you look. You're hot, you're cool, you're on point. You got the sauce.
Is it is it good clobber? I'd normally say, if you've got good clobber, no, or that's the equivalent.
If you look on Urban Dictionary, it's the adjective to describe your outfit, similar to swag, sauce, etc. So the way to say it is, man, my outfit is dripping right now.
Instead, it'd be good club or check your arms out, I suppose. Maybe, no, you know,
the boy's got style. Do you know what I mean? That's I think that to me, mate, you know, if I went in the pub and said, "So fuck me, you got good cobber on today, fella," I'd probably go, "Yeah, cheers, mate." If I walked in there and said, "Fuck me, you're dripping," I'd probably get a slap.
So if you're listening, whoever runs the Millwall Twitter handle, I want to see a tweet on Saturday going, "Check our garms out," or something stupid. Like, look at the garms.
Yeah, on Saturday we want clobber photos, all right? Yeah. You know what I mean?
We should auto correct the Millwall Twitter handle every time I do a tweet. We'll just quote it with what it should be instead or something. We'll paraphrase it. So when
you want us to translate Millwall, the official Millwall channel, just let us know. Tell us on social media. Drop us a message, drop us whatever, and tell us, yeah, you want us to do it, and we'll do it. We might put a poll out and see, but I think that's the way. We'll combat it with correction, like the grammar police out there. Maybe we just become the urban slang massive.
There you go, mate. I like your idea there. I think we'll do it. We'll have to do it, definitely. Anything else you two want to add before we round up the show today?
No.
We've got a special guest on Sunday joining us for doing a match review.
We do.
Do we tell you who it is, or do we leave it a surprise, make people tune in and listen?
Maybe leave it a surprise. Yeah, former player, that's all we'll say about that.
Former player who's played for both teams playing on Saturday.
There you go. Like it. I think that's the best tease you can give, mate, and let people kind of try and work that one out. If you think you know who it is, put it in the comment section below, and I think we'll leave it at that. If you're new around here, guys, like I said at the start of the show, be sure to like the video and subscribe. If you're listening on audio, be sure to leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Check us out on social media at That Mill Pod. Drop us an email, thatmillpodcast@gmail.com, if you'd like to get in touch, and obviously check out our website, thatmillpodcast.co.uk. Thanks for coming in, Mickey, on your, I know you had a busy day today, mate, so I appreciate you coming along and giving us some wisdom as always, mate.
No problem at all, fellow. It's always a pleasure.
And thanks, Kai, as always, for popping in today, mate, as well, and, give us a little recap from West Brom on Saturday.
No worries, mate. Really enjoyed it.
So thanks for watching, guys. We'll be back on Sunday for our next show, and we'll see you then.